Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us once again today as we face the issues. May I remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's not based on what we say. It's not based on some denominational dogma or some political ideology. It's based on the authority of the Scripture. From Genesis through the book of the Revelation, you find the Word of God, the Bible, is the source book of truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." That was Jesus' statement to his disciples in John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then he made a declaratory statement in John 17:17 that resolves the issue and answers the question once and for all. The Bible is truth. Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It is the written, revealed word of God that is the source book of truth. It doesn't just contain truth, it is truth from cover to cover. And may I recommend the book to you? It's called the Bible. Study the book, learn the book, apply the Word of God in our hearts and lives. It was George Orwell a number of years ago says, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see taking place in our society today, especially in the political circus that you find in Washington and in the areas of political non-accountability today. But I enjoyed the statement by the 15th century reformer, church reformer, and theologian, Jan Hus. John Hus says, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And so that's my challenge to each of our listeners today, is to simply seek the truth and listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to our death. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. They carry a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, they have a full knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about homeowner, landscape, lawn care equipment, and hurricane preparedness equipment. They can answer all of your questions at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the base of the gigantic flagpole, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Find the flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, and you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about a subject today that I've simply arbitrarily and capriciously chosen to call the vanishing ministry, the vanishing ministry. And let me be very, very forthright. That is the title of a book in 1996. It was written by Woodrow Kroll and his book entitled The Vanishing Ministry. It was in this book that he pointed out that America has a vast number of religious radio and television programs, so many Bible conferences and Christian resorts, and America has so many churches, Christian colleges, and seminaries, yet we're failing at biblical training for our pastors. Now, Dr. Kroll used as an example a Christian high school in his research on his writing, used a Christian high school with 106 graduates in that year. They had only two out of the 106 graduating class that were going into full-time Christian ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's on Dr. Kroll's book, The Vanishing Ministry, page 57, the bottom of the book, and I'll set the stage with this. He says, all Satan must do to reduce effective training for lifetime ministry is to take other legitimate majors, grow and flourish in our colleges and seminaries, while the pastoral and missions majors languish. That's the case precisely that's presented in many of our fine institutions today. Further, he says, our best and highest candidates for lifetime service to the Lord are being siphoned off into other legitimate careers, while many theological and biblical institutions appear to be drifting from their original purpose. They have broadened their mission and their curriculum to meet society's needs, but in so doing so, they have significantly reduced the number of men and women meeting the need of the local New Testament church, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's taking place even more so now than in 1996 when Dr. Coral wrote his book, The Vanishing Ministry. When we think back, ladies and gentlemen, to the founding of Harvard and Princeton and Yale and Dartmouth, all of these schools were founded as religious schools to train pastors and missionaries and evangelists for preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, these institutions today have totally abandoned the purpose statement for their existence. In fact, the purpose statement is still in the founding documents for these institutions, but they no longer do that. The majority of our so-called Christian colleges today have a department of religion and only focus on religion in those departments of religion, and everything else is focused on what's called liberal arts today. These so-called Christian colleges and universities have, without exception, forgotten the reason for their existence, forgotten the reason for their existence. Today, ladies and gentlemen, America has about 600 religious colleges and universities, I'm talking about on the broad scale. Most of them are liberal arts schools with the Department of Religion. Yet due to government control, the biblical theological doctrinal truth is extremely watered down, if found at all, in most of these religious institutions today. One of the very important elements, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, of today's higher education is that of government funding for a school to have access to government money for the student's tuition. And the school must surrender in doing so. Every one of these schools, ladies and gentlemen, must surrender its control over the selection of its professors. They surrender the control over the curriculum. They surrender the control over the doctrinal purity and moral requirements for the students. Good example of that, and I not called the name of the institution, but a South Florida Christian university just a few years back closed, summarily closed. They had about 2,000 students. Why did they close? They closed because of the demands of the government, and the results were for taking student funding from the government. They had open hand to the federal government to take federal funding. They had a student that was a homosexual student. They expelled the student. A suit was filed against the university. And as a result of that, their accrediting agency said, either you put the student back in the classroom or we're going to withdraw your accreditation. And as a result of that, the president of the university on that Tuesday morning in the chapel services explained to the auditorium full of the students that he was against homosexuality. He believed that it was unbiblical and wrong. Believed that a Christian school ought not to have homosexual students, but they were going to reinstate that student that had been expelled. And quote, that he said, and quote, that we're doing this so that we can continue to get your student tuition funding from the federal government. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he was bifurcating biblical truth. He was trying to say that spiritually, morally, ethically, personally, I'm against it, but institutionally, I'm going to do so because we want to continue to get the handout from the federal government that can close us down if we do not do so as they demand. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that overwhelming majority of the students walked. They said, that's not what we enrolled for in a Christian school. We're not going to do so. And so as a result of that, about 75 to 80% of the students diminished overnight. As a result of that, the next 3 years, they could not handle the brick and mortar overhead. They closed the school. It was a fine Christian university. They closed it. It was later sold to another organization. They had several hundred acres of wonderful, beautiful property and thousands and thousands of square feet of space, but it was for naught, but it was all as a result of getting their hand in the till of the federal government's dollars. So there's real need today, ladies and gentlemen, for a Christian certification agency, for a Christian organization that will review and do the peer overview of the institution so that they will be following the process and the procedure that is honorable to God and will not besmirch the testimony of Jesus Christ, and will allow these colleges and universities and seminaries to be schools that honor God, that teach the word without bending or bowing to the unethical, ungodly, unholy requirements of the federal government with the strings attached. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we need to have Christian institutions that will not bend the morals and the ethics and the values of God's word. And we have, ladies and gentlemen, that type organization here in the state of Florida. We have today, ladies and gentlemen, our guest on Let's Face the Issues, Dr. Earl Lee and Dr. Larry Moulds of the Council for Private Colleges of America. Dr. Lee and Dr. Moulds, welcome to today's broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's my honor and privilege today to have you join us and taking out of your busy schedule the time to do so. Thank you and welcome to Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you for having us, Dr. Lee here.
We're delighted to have you, Dr. Lee, and I believe Dr. Moulds is on the line with us also. Dr. Moulds, are you present?
I am here, and I thank you for your introduction, which is so very, very true.
I am so thankful that we do have, ladies and gentlemen, to our listeners, Dr. Lee and Dr. Moulds. I want them to understand that the two of you are heading up the Council of Private Colleges of America and the Florida Council of Private Colleges. And I want you to each just have dialogue and discussion as though we're sitting around the table talking about it for the benefit of our listeners. Take a first few moments. First of all, introducing Council of Private Colleges of America and the private colleges, the Florida Council of Private Colleges, the two institutions, what those institutions do and why they're necessary in the modern society in which we're in today with higher education. Either one of you can go and just have dialogue and discussion, and I'll jump in a moment. We'll carry the conversation.
This Dr. Earl Lee here, this June will be my 40th year in the state of Florida seeking to maintain rights for faith-based institutions to be able to offer degrees and to stand out from all the religious fake institutions that are allowed to exist and operate in the state of Florida. And we have been fighting that battle in a number of through the Florida Council of Private Colleges, and we've been successful in maintaining the right to grant degrees in Florida without government interference because we don't take government money. And as Dr. Youngblood shared in his opening remarks, whoever pays the piper has the right to call the tune. And institutions have found that out. And unfortunately, the greatest downfall of that is, just like Dr. Kroll said, we've lost sight of ministry. And we're not turning out graduates that are involved in the ministry and getting the truths of the Word of God out. A number of years back, excuse me, our institutions and the board wanted to establish some form of program to provide verification for legitimate institutions, and that gave birth to the Council of Private Colleges of America to provide a certification process. We chose certification and not the word accreditation because we wanted to disassociate 100% from the fact that the normal understanding of accreditation today is you can get government money as a student or get government money for the institution. And so we chose to use the word certification. That we are the ones responsible for the first time to apply that to the field of education.
Yes. Attorneys, well, Dr. Lee,
Yes.
If I can jump in for a moment, Dr. Lee, I just want to add this little footnote that I failed to do in introducing you. Dr. Lee has just spoken about the fact he's been in the state of Florida now dealing with Christian higher education for all of these 40 years. And I've had the privilege, and it has been a privilege, of walking the corridors of the Capitol building and the House and the Senate as we have been fighting for Christian education recognition and Christian education standards in the state of Florida with higher education laws that will protect Christian education. And I'm thankful for that. Dr. Moulds, take a moment and jump in and tell us some of the things that you do in relationship to that. In fact, I failed to ask each of you to talk about your backgrounds just a little bit. So each of you can do that. Just have the dialogue and discussion and jump in as you feel necessary. But Dr. Moulds, speak up for us just a moment. And ladies and gentlemen, if you hear me during the course of the broadcast to say to Dr. Moulds, indeed, then I believe Dr. Moulds will understand that, indeed, as we talk about it today. But Dr. Moulds, share with us a moment.
I'll be happy to do that. My background comes from the secular world of seeing accreditation and how it was working within the colleges and universities that Dr. Youngblood has already addressed. And I saw that there had to be a different way of going about things while at the same time wanting to have for the institutions, their students and prospective students, a way to show the quality in the faith-based Bible colleges and seminaries around this country. So I left the secular world and came into this faith-based world that is just so incredibly exciting. One of the things that we're so concerned about, one of the things, is the tremendous cost in the general academic world in colleges and universities today, and so many students are ending up with such a large financial burden because of the dollars that they have taken from the federal government to have their education. And so we needed and wanted a different way to go about this whole process.
Dr. Moulds, if you take a moment, if I can jump in, if you would take a moment.
Yes.
And explain a little bit to our listeners. I understand it, but some of our listeners may not. What is the cause and effect, the nexus between the high cost of education on a secular level and the governmental funding? Explain that to our listeners. Many do not understand it. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directed through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question or comment. Perhaps you'd like to join in this dialogue and discussion, asking a question. We're talking about theological higher education and from the standpoint of the institutionalization of some of the governmental controls as a result of accreditation. And in a moment, we'll be talking about the differentiation and the express differences between certification and accreditation. But we're talking with Dr. Earl Lee, and we're talking with Dr. Larry Moulds. Both of them are involved in the Council of Private Colleges of America and the Florida Council of Private Colleges. Dr. Moulds, I had to interrupt so that I could set the stage, but explain further the nexus between the extremely almost unattainable high cost of education on the secular level. What is the cause of that, and how does that differentiate with religious higher education today?
The problem that is existing in our world at this point is the fact that the federal government has gotten involved in higher education, providing monies to accredited institutions in gigantic amounts. And so with that, and with Title IV federal funding to the institutions and to students, the institutions continue to increase their tuition requirements and costs of programs and degrees so that the typical student does not have the money in and of themselves to pay the cost. So they, the students, then in the colleges and universities, rely on this Title IV financial aid funding to the student, and as a result, they graduate with huge debt. And that is one of the major things that we wanted to avoid in our faith-based institutions that want no contact with the federal government and none of the federal government requirements, so that the students can get a quality biblical education at a very reasonable price.
It's good you said that, and this is for you, Dr. Moles, or Dr. Lee, if you can join in this response to this. So that being the case, there are a lot of people today, in fact, I would say the overwhelming majority of our listeners, believe that you need to have governmental accreditation to validate quality in the educational process. Is there a nexus between quality of the deliverance of the education? Is there a nexus between the quality and the cost? Is there a nexus between governmental control and quality at all?
The only nexus that I would perceive is the government wants to control the difference between truth and godly principles, and to take them out of the marketplace by using funds to create that. And it continues to go on to this day. And liberal organizations, just like here in Florida now, we're getting organizations publishing articles in papers that so many of these charter schools, faith-based schools, dealing with pre-K to 12, they're guilty of taking government money, and yet they honor the Bible principle that marriage is between one man and one woman. And so they're saying they get the money. But Florida has been a forerunner in providing aid to parents, not to the institutions. And they can use that money to go to a charter school, a military school, a faith-based school, wherever they choose that's best for their child. And yet the government, the liberal organizations are now using that, trying to use that, against Christian ministries that haven't taken one dime of government money. They're saying because the parents get it and spend it there, therefore that institution should be guilty and required to hire homosexuals and people that don't hold to their faith-based principles, and that is totally, totally wrong. So government money involves government interference, no matter how you want to look at it, in whatever realm. And the Bible makes it very clear, can two walk together unless they be agreed, in Amos 3:3.
That's it. In fact, Dr. Lee and Dr. Moles, you're aware of it, but for the benefit of our listeners, accreditation is a concept. Governmental intervention through accreditation is a concept found only in American educational institutions. It's not found in Canada. It's not found in the European countries. And yet they produce superior academic training for the students in those countries. And yet somehow, some way, we've been made to believe in America that it must be governmentally controlled. And I say tongue in cheek, if the government can't deliver VA benefits without a major hiccup, if the government cannot carry out the Department of Motor Vehicles without major problems, the government certainly cannot carry out medical care and the governmental control medical care, how can we think that they can carry out the oversight of the higher education, in fact, educational system at all? Dr. Moles, as we are discussing this subject. And because of your background coming out of the secular system of higher education and accreditation, and now for years and years and years being involved in Christian education, higher education in particular, can you explain the refreshing major difference in Christian higher education and the secular system, even though the secular system is still basically controlled by the federal government? What is the, and especially when it comes to theological education, that's the bent, that's the approach, that's the focus that we want to think on.
I would say that the primary thing is the fact that we are able to keep the Lord's testimony above reproach. These institutions, these Bible institutions, faith-based, are desirous of providing the richest possible Bible-integrated courses and degrees that they can provide. And this is such a vast difference between now the faith-based institutions and those that are not, even though, as you explained, Dr. Youngblood, in your opening monologue, that many of the institutions that individuals would think would be the premier ones, like a Harvard, so many of them were created specifically to teach the Bible and to provide pastors and Christian workers within their communities. And this has totally gone 180 degrees in the other direction.
Yes, it has. Dr. Lee, would you take just a moment? We've got a couple of minutes before we take our break for the top of the hour news. Would you take just a couple of minutes to, we'll start on this and then we'll come back after the break and complete the thoughts on it. But take a moment and tell our listeners, what is the advantage? Perhaps we have a listener out there that's involved in a Christian educational system, or their desires to become involved in that, or perhaps there's a student, prospective student, that's looking to make a decision for a Christian educational institution for his theological training. What part does CPCA play in that decision and determination? How should that student to determine in the analysis of an institution what is quality, what is not, what is simply a fly-by-night degree mill, and what is quality that should be sought after, and how does CPCA come into play with that?
I believe if they go to our the CPCA website at cpca-edu.us, they will and check out the academic requirements in terms of clock hours and content and things of that nature, and they use that to ask questions if they're looking for theological education. It will help them sort out the difference between legitimate ones and illegitimate ones. Now, those standards in no way dictate the particular theological persuasion of that institution, its doctrines, or its tenets, but it does require consumer fair practices issues that 15 clock hours of instruction is equal to one semester credit worth of work, and so many credit hours, 120, equals a bachelor's degree, and so many more equals a master's or a doctorate degree. And when they look at that, if somebody, they're going to an institution, they say, well, you read these 50 pages and we'll give you three credits for the course, three semester credits, it doesn't pass muster. But that is happening all the time in the state of Florida due to the current bad law.
And yes, it is. And Dr. Lee, we're going to interrupt our thought for just a moment. We're going to take one-minute break for the top of the hour news. I want our listeners to hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back just after the news as we continue this dialogue and discussion today on the Vanishing Ministry.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.